Well, good morning, everyone.
Hey,
if you're a guest with us, I just want to say thank you for being here. My name is Jeff. I'm one of the pastors, and I'll just tell you right up front, please come back next Sunday, because what you're about to see is the most unusual Sunday of the year for us. This is one Sunday of the year where we kind of celebrate our volunteers. And in fact, you can see it in the room. We rolled the red carpet out today, literally, so that we could walk a lot of people up the stage and just recognize them for what they've done at Calvary Baptist Church. I'm going to spend just a few moments looking at the Bible with us for a second. And just to set the stage for the people that we're going to recognize today, I want to just remind you, if you are a born-again Christian, it doesn't matter if you're a member of this church or if you're visiting us today from somewhere else in America. If you are on the rolls of a church somewhere, God has custom created a position for you in His church. Here's how I'd like to say it to you today. God has an important role, kind of a custom designed role for every single person in His church. God creates the person, He creates the position, and then He perfectly fits these two together, and He does it in His church. And that means every single person that you're going to see stand up on this stage today is incredibly important. They're important to Calvary Baptist Church. They're important to King Jesus. And I'm going to start where Chaplain Phil Kramer left off. If you were with us last week, he was going through the second half of Acts chapter 1. We're going to pick up in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 21. So if you got a paper Bible, go ahead and flip open there. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. If you're just using the Calvary Ministries mobile app, click that button that says today's sermon. And you know, we've already put the sermon notes. We've already put the scripture there for you. But I want you to see just how important one person is. And every person is important in the kingdom of God. And I think the perfect way to describe this for us today is the end of Acts chapter 1. So are you already at Acts 1:21? Everybody there? Okay, thank you for the two people in the room that actually made it there. If you need some more time, I'll give you some more time because it sounds like it takes a while to get there on your phone. Acts chapter 1, verse 21 says this, and this is Peter standing up and talking to a crowd of followers after Jesus' ascension, Jesus' resurrection. He walked among them, and then He was taken up in their sight and taken up into heaven. And now all of Jesus' followers have come back to Jerusalem, and they're looking at each other like, what do we do next? That's where the story picks up. Verse 21. Therefore, Peter speaking, from among the men who have accompanied us during the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. He's going to describe this period of time. Verse 22. Beginning from the baptism of John until the day He was taken up from us, like today in the book of Acts. From among these, it is necessary that one become a witness with us of His resurrection. Basically, Peter is saying, hey, we've got a hole to fill. And in order to find the right person, this guy that we're going to use to fill this hole really needs to be with us from the very beginning. Because Jesus' ministry back in the Gospels, they kind of begin when His baptism happens. And they end at His death and resurrection. So Peter is saying, you really need to have been with us from the beginning. Verse 23. So they proposed two. This first guy must be a redneck because he has three first names. They proposed two guys, Joseph called Barsabbas, who is also known as Justice, and Matthias. And then they prayed, Lord, You know everyone's heart. I want you to pay close attention to this verse. Lord, You know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two You've chosen. Now, I'm going to read the other two verses in Acts chapter 1 in just a second, but I want to point a couple of things out real quickly about this verse. There is a hole. The crowd realizes, the crowd of Jesus' followers realize we need to fill this hole. They've kind of set the parameters as somebody who was there from the beginning until today. But then they realize, you know what? We are not qualified to fill this position. Only God himself can do that. In fact, we believe God has already, look at the language, God has already filled the position, and now we just need to know, God, who is the person that you've selected? And here's really, that's the first thing that I want you to see. The second thing, the thing that's really important about this verse is notice the criteria. They're not looking for a guy who's super smart or a guy who has all of these skills and talents and abilities. According to this verse, there's really only one thing that matters. What is it? It's his heart. God, you know everyone's heart. You know my heart. You know the heart of these two men. And God, we can't select somebody based on the criteria of their heart. Only you can do that. God, you know their heart. So you tell us. Which one of these two guys needs to fill this hole? And here's how the Bible describes it, verse 25. To take the place of this apostolic ministry that Judas left to go where he belongs. So verse 26, they cast lots for them. And the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. I'm going to make a couple of very short observations. This is going to take me less than 10 minutes with you this morning because I want to save the majority of the time for the people that deserve it, those of you who serve our church. But there's a few things that I think we can all identify from this passage before us today. One, church is a team sport. That means there is no such thing as going it solo in the kingdom of God. You try as hard as you can, you won't find an example of this in the Bible. Because when God called you, he called you into a relationship with himself. And when God brought you into his family, he also brought you into relationship with other people. The church is a team sport. Even Jesus himself didn't try to do ministry all on his own. Jesus found 12 other guys and started to invest in them. And pretty soon they became 72. And now by this point in the book of Acts, we're talking a crowd of 400 or 500 people when Peter is having this conversation at the end of the book of Acts. A church is supposed to be a team of sport. It's supposed to be a group of people. And there is one leader. Many followers, but there's only one leader. There's one commander in chief. Jesus has a huge army, but there's only one commander. There's one coach and many players, and that coach is not Jeff, it's Jesus. And Jesus leads his church, and Jesus does ministry through the people of his church. Church is a team sport. There really is no such thing as a guy or a gal who's going it alone in the Bible. If you're going it alone, there's a problem, and that's not a good thing. Church is supposed to be a team sport. But can I remind you of this? A team works as a unit. Or y'all, it just doesn't work at all. There is no quarterback on the planet that can win a ball game by themselves. There's no team that's going to succeed when everybody on the team is trying to play the position of quarterback. There's no team that's going to be able to win when the quarterback is trying to play somebody else's position. Everybody has a position to play, and when everybody is playing their positions and everybody's playing their positions well, then the team is going to succeed. Well, that's how Jesus designed his church. He designed it with people that have different shapes and different colors of skin and different sizes. Some of them have different skills and different abilities and different talents. You're going to see them today. And when they start to put all of those things together and they start to serve the same purpose, man, a team becomes really, really good when they are all united behind a common purpose or a common goal. Different people, different skills or different abilities, all pursuing the same goal, that thing is an unstoppable force. If you have been on our campus for 15 seconds today, you've heard the goal at Calvary Baptist Church. You've seen it when you walked in the doors. It's plastered all over this place. We're a church that exists to do one thing and tries to do it really, really well. And that one thing, please don't let me down, Calvary, is what? Make disciples. That's right. We teach around here that the reason we exist, Jesus' final instructions to his church, this, hey, y'all, if you do nothing else, do this one thing. And if you get this one thing right, everything else will take care of itself. These instructions from Matthew 28, the Great Commission, from Acts chapter 1, verse 8 are go and make disciples. And we use the words around here, reach people with the gospel. Build them up until they understand the gospel, until they're living the gospel, until they understand how to share the gospel. And then at that point, send them out to go do this with other people and keep building and reaching and sending and reaching and building and sending and reaching and sending and building until there are nobody else to reach, until everybody to the ends of the earth have become a disciple of Jesus. This is the one thing. You can do it in several different ways, but it's the one thing that Jesus has sent his church to do. Now, Acts chapter 1 really, really shows this last point very clearly. You see, every single member of the team is important. Do you know that on Sunday mornings, some people show up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning? They don't get paid for this. They show up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and they make sure that this place is ready for you when you get here. And you just roll in the door like you own the place, but there are people that work really hard trying to make it awesome for you when you get here. Well, a perfect example of this is Matthias. Because picture this in your mind. There's this huge crowd, 400 or 500 people, and there's this obvious empty seat at the table. Peter sees it. The rest of the apostles see it. All of the other crowd sees it, and Peter says, you know what? Jesus chose 12 for a reason, and one of those 12 was Judas Iscariot. If you were here last week, you heard Chaplain Phil Kramer say, that joker was a faker. He was not a real Christian. Sold Jesus for some money, felt so guilty about it that he went and hung himself, and he killed himself because of the shame and the guilt. And now we've got a vacant hole, and we've got to fill this vacant hole. And every single role in Jesus' church is important. So Peter says, before we do anything else, let's find out who God wants to use to fill this vacant position. And this is the one time, the last time in the New Testament that they use the Old Testament practice of throwing dice, these sacred religious objects, to see what does the will of God determine. Narrowed it down to two men. They threw the sacred dice, they cast lots, and it showed Matthias. This is the guy who God has selected to step in and to fill the role that Judas left when Judas went out from among them. Every role is important, which means every single person that you see walk up on our stage today is incredibly important to the mission of Calvary Baptist Church. But if it was just that, we deserve to give them thanks. Every person that walks across this stage today is important to God. Let me give you a couple of really quick statistics. This year, over the course of 12 months, 323 people individually have stepped up and done some kind of ministry in our church or on behalf of our church, in our community and around the world. If it were one person doing one thing only, some people might as well just sit up on this stage because they do like 50 things around here. If it were one person doing only one thing, 547 things are happening around here each year at Calvary Baptist Church. And today we're going to recognize every one of them. But a statistic that I really want you to hear, because I am very encouraged about this number, 80% of the people that you see on come on stage, 80% of the stuff that you hear today, it's stuff that Calvary does for Calvary. But 20% of it, it's stuff that Calvary does for our community because we love the Chattahoochee Valley, or it's stuff that Calvary does in our country or around the world because we love Jesus and we want people to hear about Jesus too. And one of the marks of a healthy church is that they get outside the walls and they do stuff for their community or they do stuff in their country or around the world and not just focused on them. So here's what I want us to do. I'm going to say a quick prayer for you in just a moment. But before I pray for you, I want you to sometime this week, I want you to find one of these people that you see walk across on the stage. See this last line up on the screens? I want you to find them, and I want you to just say thank you to them this week. Thank them for whatever it is that they're doing around here. Maybe you want to serve. Look, today we're not going to ask you to find a role and to serve, but if today you're looking for a place to serve, you can find any one of us pastors or our elders and let these guys know, hey, I'm interested. Find me a place and help me plug in and get involved. But I want you to pay close attention. Would you please focus for just a second on this first line on the screens before we pray? We don't do this to try to make Jesus love us. And I need you to hear this very carefully from me, because there are some churches, in fact, whole denominations, that teach if you want God to love you, you got to do this, this, and this to get God to love you. That's not why these people serve. In fact, what they say by serving is, I couldn't earn Jesus's love if I wanted to. He gave that love to me even when I didn't deserve it. No, I serve because Jesus loved me, not to earn his love for me. And in just a moment, we're going to invite you to get up and to walk the red carpets and to come up on stage and to receive the applause that you deserve. But before we do that, would you just bow your heads? Let me say a quick prayer, and then we'll transition to the most important part of this Sunday. Father, how could we possibly say thank you for all of the people that do all of these things around here? And God, not one of them slips your attention. But here's what we also learned from the Bible today. God, you not only know what they do, you know why they do it. You know their heart. And God, we today just want to be a church that loves them, that honors them, that supports them. So help us cast an atmosphere that feels like a party around here. Help us to recognize and to honor the men and women that are going to cross this stage, the boys and girls that serve in so many capacities around here. God, be blessed by what we do in the next few moments in this service. And would you help us to bless the people that are going to come up on this stage? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.